Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and Lisa Newell is the publisher of the Gulf Breeze News. Joins us every Thursday before the paper comes out to preview some of the content. Hey, Lisa, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to talk to you again, Andrew. And I have some really great news. That is that the Gulf Breeze Lady Dolphin Beach Volleyball Team are not only the current winners of the state championship, but they have done it for 2 years in a row. So we are so proud about those girls. They have done a great job representing, and they are just, we just haven't even had a beach volleyball team that long. And suddenly we are a dynasty in Gulf Breeze. So we're very proud of those girls and everything that they have accomplished, and their coaches and parents and all the people who've contributed and helped to make that program such a success.
No, it's a fantastic piece. And I think it's been 2 years out of the 3 years they've existed, if I'm not mistaken. So it's, amazing.
Yeah, I believe you're right. It has not been around very long at all. So a huge accomplishment.
Absolutely.
To win over all these other teams that have been in existence for a long time.
The state, of course, is banning fluoride, which does not affect Gulf Breeze because...
Well, we don't even put fluoride in our water system here in our local water system. But, of course, there are a lot of people who say this is just a terrible idea because especially the people we spoke to who are on the state boards of fluoridization, if you can say that right. And they, of course, say that this is a chronic disease. Cavities are a chronic disease. And, of course, it does affect disproportionately people in a lower income bracket who may or may not have the opportunity to have dental care on a regular basis or, use fluoride mouthwashes or other things. So they do advocate for fluoride, and they say it's absolutely harmless, and not having it is more of a risk.
The county is moving or has moved to lower the rural protection zone line to theoretically improve the protection for farmland or the rural way of life, right?
Yeah, 70,000 more acres will become protected under this plan, so it should help the agricultural interest in Santa Rosa County. So this is going to be lowered from the north end so that there is more agricultural protection. So that is supposedly going to balance rural land protection and landowners' rights. So, Santa Rosa County is constantly trying to figure out how to accommodate the demand and also protect trees. And there is another story about the alternative subdivision plan, which some people are very in favor of, and a lot of people are not in favor of it. The alternative subdivision plan would cluster homes on land to create supposedly a sense of community while leaving a lot of the land that is open for trees, green space, hiking, parks, things like that. So there are a lot of people who say, well, once you designate something a alternative subdivision, what's to keep someone from coming in and just taking that green space and developing it? Mm-hmm. So that is one of the issues that the county is trying to work on right now.
Yeah, it's the old kind of like what they were trying to do at Jubilee is, take 2,000 acres, which allows you one home per acre, but put those 2,000 homes into a much smaller area and leave the rest of it undeveloped. And like you say, super controversial thing in Santa Rosa County. Some people love and believe in, some people hate and can't stand. Back on the RPZ for just a second, I know Colton Wright had raised a lot of questions, and there was kind of a back and forth between him and Rhett Rowell over whether the rural protection zone or the rural protection line, whether it really does what it should or not. And I think they're going to have follow-up conversation about strengthening the protection for the rural areas, which, I think makes sense because if you're going to have the line, it's got to protect. But, of course, the degree to which it protects against development, it means that it's an infringement on property rights and development rights. And so that's why there's a lot of tension around that. We got a bear hunt maybe coming up. Is that right? Or at least it's going to be a topic?
There are a lot of people who have strong feelings about this, too. And we just found out that they are attributing an 89-year-old man's death to a to a bear attack. It was not here. It was down in South Florida. But let's see, what county? Let's see.
It's like the first one in Collier County. It's not the first one ever, yeah. But it's the first one in a long time. What is it?
I think it was in Collier County, but yeah, it's very rare. One of the first ones that they can really attribute to a bear, but they are sure that it was a bear. And we don't know what the circumstances, whether he was taunting them, but we have no idea what happened with it. But, you know, we do have a lot of bears here. We coexist with bears in Gulf Breeze every day. There has not been an issue, but there are people who are scared. Of course, you have small animals. They're worried about that. Not really a problem so far, but we have had an explosion of bears
right. Since
bears became protective. And so, you know, they're trying to figure out how to figure this all out, and there will be a healthy debate about it. I believe it is going to be May 21st and 22nd at the College of Central. Let's see, where is it? Oh, we have the article in here.
That's why you got to get the paper.
One page to the next.
I did do a quick check. It was the first in Florida, the first black bear confirmed death from a black bear attack in state history, which is, you know, a reminder of generally how that does not happen. In the paper, you've also got some senior socials today, the Wahoos, Gallery Night, Ocean Hour, the Optimist Fishing Rodeo this weekend, Splash for June is coming soon. Like, it's just, there's so much in the paper. We never have enough time to cover all of it, but that's why people should get the paper. The Gulf Breeze News, available everywhere on Thursdays. Lisa Newell's the publisher. Thank her if you see her. Lisa, thanks for the time and the information. We'll talk to you next week.
Hope to see you in the breeze. Come to the Fishing Rodeo. Really fun. And participate if you can. It's a great weekend. Great weather as well.
No, that is an outstanding event. Lisa, thanks for the time. 8:17 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still dealing with traffic issues on I-10 eastbound. Backed up all the way to almost to Pine Forest through Highway 29. So again, if you're traveling I-10 eastbound through that construction zone, be prepared. It's about a 10 to 12 minute delay. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
You know, if you're thinking about buying a home and you're considering, you know, buying a new home, you might think, well, if I buy new, I don't need a realtor. That is, buy from the company. Well, I mean, that's true. You can. But one of the things that having a good realtor like Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty will do for you if you buy from a manufacturer is they can help negotiate a, you know, great deal for you. Okay, there's room. Okay, there are things that can be offered. But if you don't know, you don't know. And also just making sure that you really get what you deserve, because a lot of times, and I heard her talking about this on Pep Talk recently, where she was saying people take ownership of a new home and they feel kind of reluctant to identify the flaws and the problems. And she's like, I am the blue tape queen. You give me that roll of blue tape, I will go through that house and every single flaw we will identify and we will have it fixed, because you buy a new home, you expect, you have the right to have it delivered in pristine condition. You don't have to settle for any of this stuff, but people often don't really know what their rights are. They don't know what the alternatives are for negotiating. And so she's saying, look, we help people buy, and actually the builders like it too. You might think they might, but the builders like it too, because then they're dealing with a professional and they can, you know, it facilitates their end as well. So whether you're buying new or, you know, previously lived in or an investment property, or you just have questions, give Christina Leavenworth a call, 786-3996.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College, on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Go to Hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, and the process is 100% online. To start your free online visit, go to Hims.com/joy. That's Hims.com/joy.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Every new boy that you meet doesn't know the real surprise.
Here she comes again.
Proud to announce that AJ's Market, which many of you know is in the Southtown building downtown on Jefferson, received an award recently as a winner of the it's an Outstanding Independence Awards program, and it basically is given to independent operators of convenience type stores. They were nominated by various folks in the community who enjoy AJ's Market, and there were only 20 in the U.S., so this is actually a very big deal for them. And so just want to thank them for everything they do for our community. You know, they give back in so many ways, ice cream for teachers and just multiple different events, and they're really... I think an integral part of that neighborhood now.
Yeah, they're even going to get a proclamation today at the Escambia County Commission meeting. This is City Council meeting, Allison Patton talking about it. So kudos. That's fantastic for AJ's. So always nice to see locals. There's another story like this I can't tell you about. I mean, I think Mike Kohler let it out of the bag when he shouldn't have quite yet. But we'll probably tell you about it Monday with Jimmy Patronis. So there's a different story that's kind of cool. That's a tease for the Monday interview, which is 4 days from now. John Pickens has got traffic. No, he doesn't. I don't need to go to you yet. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, good.
That's a pretty bold tease, right? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. 4 days from now, tune in.
That's huge, man. didn't have notice.
Set your notification on your phone. Go on, David.
Well, the Supreme Court hearing arguments today over President Trump's order to end birthright citizenship. Now, the case they're actually going to be discussing isn't about the constitutionality of that order, but rather the authority that lower courts have to issue nationwide injunctions. They'll decide if the lower courts have that kind of authority. President Trump has now arrived in the United Arab Emirates for what will be the final stop of his Middle East tour. Yesterday, he announced several new deals between Qatar, Boeing, and the Department of Defense. Boeing is selling billions of dollars worth of planes to the country. And Tom Cruise apparently getting a big ovation for his new Mission Impossible movie. Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, is the 8th film starring Cruise as secret agent Ethan Hunt, featuring him doing his own stunts, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
It was shown at the Cannes Film Festival, got a 5-minute standing ovation.
All right. Is this it's all in one movie, or is this like a part one of 14? Because it feels to me like this is the end of series are usually not, and it's usually split up into two. Does it say? I don't happen to know.
It doesn't say. Okay. I don't really know. Yeah.
All right, very good. So the audience was doing their own stunt, standing up
yes,
and clapping.
Absolutely.
Very demanding physically.
That could be dangerous.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. This is kind of an interesting note. At least it is to me. Therefore, I share it with you because I figure you will also find it interesting. You remember when Florida, even though we had put in place a more restrictive abortion law, that it was being litigated? And you remember originally, I have to remember, was it 14 weeks it had been litigated at, and we had subsequently passed a 6-week ban, but we were waiting to find out whether the prohibition on the privacy amendment in the Constitution was going to supersede the state law. And then that got resolved, and now it's at 6 weeks, okay? But what was happening in the meantime, again, this is following the Dobbs decision that made it possible for states to regulate abortion pretty much throughout a pregnancy. And we were the more liberal state. We were the state where, because of the lawsuit, the restrictions were not in place, and we were getting tourism abortion here. People were, I mean, coming here to get their abortions from more restrictive states like Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, and so forth. And so for a while there, our abortion numbers were actually pretty high. I don't remember if they actually went up, but I think they actually went up for a while, which is frightening. Well, now, okay, as of May 5th of this year, there's been 13,951 abortions in the state of Florida, down 38% from last year. So a significant decline from last year. During the first 4 months of 2024, there were about 2,000 provided out of state. And again, so, you know, the number this year was 456. So that's still 500 people coming here from out of state, but down from 2,000 last year coming here from out of state. First trimester is almost all of them, for people who understand that framework, 13,863. 88 in the second trimester because of fetal abnormality and or serious genetic defects are things that were life-endangering to the woman. The state doesn't report any third trimester abortions, which is about the norm, right? They're very, 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 very rarely in the third trimester. As a pro-lifer, I actually agree with the pro-choicers when they say that the emphasis on late-term abortion is kind of an emotional distraction away from the vast majority of abortions which are not performed late, or if there are any. You know, it's a matter of the significance of the case as opposed to the bulk of the cases, which are in the first trimester, certainly. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We're back to rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly in all directions, not seeing any delays that are going to delay your way in. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, John, I want you to imagine a future in Andrew McKay is a judge.
Huh?
Well, really? I mean, I took the LSAT. I did pretty well. I almost went to law school.
I took it too.
Yeah. I almost went to law school, and that's a story for a different day. I did not. I'm not. Since I do not have a law degree, I think I cannot be a judge, but I wouldn't want to be anyway. I certainly don't feel like I'm qualified to do it. Qualified to criticize them, not qualified to do the job. That's America.
All right, we're back in the pretend world.
That's right. Okay, but if I were a judge, would I be the kind of judge that would make jokes on the bench?
Yes.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, because you... And you'd also tell them what you're thinking,
I would.
Too.
I'd be the one. I'd be more like one of these TV judges to give them my mind, right? You know, yeah, talk show host becomes judge and, you know, lectures people on their dumbness.
I think that'd
dumbness.
Be a good series
it
on the
would
radio.
Be different. Yeah, now yeah. You make me do maybe want to become one. Anyway, Gary Farmer, who is an old former state senator, he was actually the Senate Democratic leader for a while, and a guy who I'll just describe as colorful. Okay. Mm-hmm. Gary's not one of the ones I love. Like, there are Democrats I actually admire and like and would get along with well. He's not in that category. But he has now become a judge. He got elected as a judge. He's a lawyer. Okay, so he's allowed. But he is now facing formal charges by the investigative panel, and a suspension is being recommended against him for, quote, willfully ignoring the requirements of applicable statutes or rules of procedure, or was unaware of the most basic elements of the law which governed his actions as a judge in the felony division. Now, normally I probably wouldn't do much with this story because it's elsewhere. It's Broward County, so it's as far away from us as you can get. But the particulars are kind of entertaining. They're saying that his misconduct on the bench was egregious and serious and could clearly affect the public's perception of the judiciary. An attorney for the commission, Alexander John Williams, no relation to the musician. While Judge Farmer might argue that he has changed his behavior, panel believes in this case that the damage is already done. What did he do? Well, apparently they found discriminatory, offensive, sexually charged, or demeaning comments because he likes to make a joke. He apparently in one time referenced and quoted extensively from a comedy sketch that makes fun of gay people. I bet it was funny. He used double entendre or humor in the courtroom. He was presiding over an August case last year, and somebody said that they heard him say, "Spring is here. I got so excited I wet my pants." And what did the shirt say to the pair of pants? "What's up, britches?" He says, apparently these are some of what you referred to as your exceptionally, exceptionally bad jokes. He says, Gary Farmer says, that he tells these jokes to lighten tension, reduce stress for criminal defendants, and show a sense of humanity. He likens them to dad jokes, but apparently they're not all fine. Just, you know, there's a time and then there's not a time and there's a line and you want to be on this side of that line. And
Judge McKay.
Yeah, just
Judge McKay gives you.
What's up, britches? I laughed. I thought it was funny. Yeah, I definitely could not sit on the bench. or it'd be entertaining. I don't know which. It'd be. Now I'm thinking about that possibility, John. You got me going there. I mentioned this earlier. Poland is preparing for war with Russia on the defensive side. They've raised their spend, their GDP spend on military to 5%, which is enormous. Like, we're not even at 5%, not even close. And they're putting anti-tank barricades called hedgehogs. These little white, look like tag, you know, what's the jacks? Like, you'd bounce the ball and pick up the jacks. They look like that, kind of, on the ground. Like you saw on the beaches of Normandy, but these ones are made out of concrete. Anyway, I don't think it's going to do a whole lot. There is actually a border of Poland with Russia. There's a little element of Russia that's not connected to the mainland that's kind of on their northern border. That's where they're preparing for a tank invasion.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The Supreme Court is about to hear arguments about lower courts blocking President Trump's executive order to end birthright citizenship.
What the administration is arguing is like, listen, this has come into an epidemic proportion with this second Trump administration, all of these nationwide injunctions, and you're stopping the executive branch, the president, from being able to do his job. Now, on the other side of this, you've got some organizations, some states suing, saying, listen, birthright citizenship has been understood to be the same way for 125 years. There's no emergency here. There's no reason for the Supreme Court to get involved.
Fox Chief Legal Correspondent Shannon Bream. President Trump is in the United Arab Emirates. On Air Force One, he's asked about Russia-Ukraine peace talks in Turkey not attended by Russian President Vladimir Putin.
He was going to go, but he thought I was going to go. He wasn't going if I wasn't there. And I don't believe anything's going to happen, whether you like it or not, until he and I get together.
America's listening to Fox News.
As great of a place as Mississippi is.
Good morning, 831 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies at 75 degrees in Pensacola. We'll get a complete check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson and Channel 3 in just a few minutes. The deadline for Veterans Affairs employees to take a deferred resignation is approaching as part of a plan to reduce the VA workforce by 15%. That's left many veterans wondering about their benefits.
So we're throwing everything but the kitchen sink at our VA issue, whether it be expanding community care, VA hospital. We've been reaching out. I've been working closely with the House chairman over Veterans Affairs to make sure that we understand the needs and how, as great of a place as Mississippi is, there's more of a need in Northwest Florida than there is in Mississippi, where the current VA hospital resides. You also have one over in New Orleans.
And that is District 1 Congressman Jimmy Patronis. He talked to Channel 3 and the Pensacola VA clinic, facing some uncertainty as the deadline for those employees to accept their deferred resignations is approaching. 72,000 nationwide cuts across the VA are looming. New $22.5 million traffic command center in the works for Escambia County. The Florida-Alabama Transportation Planning Organization is teaming up with local governments to build a high-tech facility next to the Emergency Operations Center. Construction is expected to start in late 2025. The center will utilize advanced technology to monitor traffic conditions and make real-time adjustments to signals. Officials say it'll improve emergency response and it will reduce congestion. Three people associated with Pace Pharmacy were arrested for prescription drug trafficking yesterday. That follows a multi-year investigation by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. The owners, Stephen and Monique Berklow, along with employee David Winkles, face charges including conspiracy to traffic over 22 kilograms of oxycodone and other controlled substances. The investigation began in 2020 after Dr. Elaine Sharp was found to be prescribing excessive amounts of controlled substances in the area. Investigators say the pharmacy dispensed illicit prescriptions and engaged in fraudulent billing practices. All three were taken into custody without incident yesterday. They're being held in the Santa Rosa County Jail. Well, some more information coming out on the proposed black bear hunt later on this year. The FWC releasing some of the proposed rules for that hunt. The goal, of course, is to manage the black bear population through a regulated hunt. One of the rules the commission is considering would be allowing dogs They may also consider allowing shooting bears within a proximity of game feeding stations. Some critics are worried the rules favor the hunters a bit too much. And memorial services being held here in the next half hour across the nation for Peace Officers Memorial Day. Locally, 9 a.m., there's a service at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Chip Simmons telling us that their memorial's now been under construction for almost a year. It features a two-sided design with the memorial on one side and some seating on the other.
Escambia County Sheriff Foundation is funded this. There's no tax dollars. And then we move the original, move the latest up to the Molino precinct. So we still have that one intact, and it's up in the north side, north end of the county, in case people want to pay their respects to a little closer to where they may live.
And Simmons says they'll be honoring the 15 deputies and two canine officers that have given all in service to Escambia County at that memorial. Again, that starts at 9 a.m., and that's at the sheriff's office on Leonard Street, just outside at that new memorial. 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are actually looking good, not seeing any delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Mostly sunny skies today with a high near 85 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. On Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 85. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Keeping the sunshine around on Saturday with a high near 87 and a low near 74. Stay connected to Channel 3 News' First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 75. We've got partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola. Your next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. And your money now. Markets at the opening bell are down. The Dow is down 186 points at 41,865. S&P down 20 points at 58,72. NASDAQ down 113.5 points, 1933. 10-year bond rate down fractionally at 4.479%. Gold prices up 970 at $31.98. Silver prices down 9 cents at 32.35. Crypto down across the board today. Bitcoin down over 1,000 at 102.433. Ethereum's down 53.13. Solana's down 650. Dogecoin down about down a fraction of a cent. XRP is down 11 cents today. Taking a look at our financial headlines. No major changes in the number of Americans filing first-time requests for unemployment benefits. The Labor Department says they've received 229,000 initial claims for the week ending May 10th. Most analysts had expected today's number to come in at about 226,000 as compared to last week's 228,000. Hollywood is going to be doing business in Russia again soon.
Eve Macaro, the Ruskaruma. What a pleasure to see you again.
U.S. film distribution by major studios came to a halt in Russia 3 years ago when Moscow invaded Ukraine. Independent films are still being shown in Russia, but major studios are hoping for an end to the war by this summer so they can boost their international box office revenues. The first studio to make the leap is Lionsgate, which is planning to release the John Wick spinoff Ballerina in Moscow on June 5th. Ballerina stars Anna de Armas as a Russian assassin exacting revenge over her father's death. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Thank you, Mark. Walmart making its first profitable quarter for its e-commerce business. However, the retailer said today that it did miss sales estimates for the quarter overall and was expecting to feel the effects of global tariffs imposed by President Trump soon, although tariffs on China have been lowered to 30% for at least 90 days after trade negotiations. Also, Dick's Sporting Goods reportedly close to buying Foot Locker. Sources tell the Wall Street Journal that the sporting goods giant is close to a deal to buy Foot Locker for $3.2 billion. 8:38, your next news at 9 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income, Financial security is about more than investments. Robert's Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Robert's Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m. Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more on News Radio Pensacola.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
What is the right time to mow the lawn? 437-1620, 437-1620. What's the right time to mow the lawn? This is a suggestion from a listener. I would give credit, but I did not copy the name. I'm sorry. And is there a too early, too late for lawn mowing? I mean, most people are not night mowing. You know, you're not like mowing after dark. So that's not usually said. It'd be more in the morning, early in the morning when people are mowing. You know, like, what's too early? Is 8 o'clock too early? Is 7 o'clock too early? Ever been woken up by a lawnmower at 6:30 on the weekend? Not probably then, but 7 or 8, yeah, a little bit more normal. Okay, so, or common, not normal. So, John, given the choice, what's the right time to mow the lawn? 437-1620, 437-1620.
Do I like my neighbors or not?
Let's imagine you do.
I do.
Okay.
So, it would be like 7 p.m. I do like 7 p.m.
No, later than 7 p.m.
Right.
Okay. And you like mowing them at night?
Yeah. Yeah. When it's kind of getting toward dusk.
You're not
going to
get a sunburn. Yeah. It's not very hot. The sun's not going to burn the grass. All those things. Okay. All
if I'm doing it, if the child's doing it, it's just whenever.
Whenever they can do it. Yeah. Right. Because who cares? It's a kid. They can learn some hardship. Yeah. Right. Why not? Meg, what's the right time to mow the lawn? 437-1620. And what's the, if there's there a wrong time? John, I didn't ask you the follow up. Is there a wrong time, John? What's too early?
If I don't like my neighbors, 3 a.m., the time I wake up is way too early. But like 7 a.m. is way too early. We had some people in our old neighborhood that...
Is 8 o'clock allowable or not allowable?
Not on the weekend.
Well, they did it.
I think it's common.
It's
people
very
who,
common.
Early risers on the weekend, they think everybody should be.
I know. We get up at 3, so
and
why
I,
not?
And I think this is the sound of my shotgun chambering. No, but, you know, if it's 9 o'clock is acceptable, even though it's still too early, 8 o'clock is seven. No, you shouldn't be. But I'm always up, so it's not me. But that's too early, right, Meg? 7 o'clock is too early.
Yes.
Okay. So what's your mowing time? Do you have a
well, because I don't mow myself.
Oh.
So if you're asking
religious
me,
objection?
No, I just don't.
I like that.
I don't know if I've ever mowed a lawn ever. I've always had
really?
People help me.
Let the peasant mow for me.
No, you don't want me doing certain tasks, okay?
Okay, all right.
It could be disastrous.
Who knows? It could be a secret talent. You never know until you try it.
No.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
But I will say it depends on whether you're talking about the noise the mowing makes. That's a different issue. I've got opinions about that. Uh-huh. But having been on the garden line, I believe he recommends in the morning, so you don't want to do it midday. So, because everything gets too dried out with the hot sun.
It's like, don't water your lawn in the middle of the day because the water creates kind of, extra heat and hurts the lawn, right?
Would be, I think, kind of early when it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I have no other opinion on this matter.
You said you had lots of opinions.
Not on mowing.
Oh, all right. We found a dead zone.
Out of my wheelhouse.
Cool. 437-1620. For me, the time is more a matter of if the grass is still wet, then I don't want to mow when the grass is wet because it's, you know, it clogs up, clumps up, isn't this wood. But, you know, as far as hours, yeah, no night mowing. Evenings never bother me. There's no time in the evening when I would get upset. But I think if I'm going to put a social rule out there, I'm going to say I don't love it at 9, but it's okay. At 8, you're really pushing the boundaries. And at 7, there's something wrong with you.
I have a question.
Same for the weed whacker, by the way, which is a worse noise because it's
no.
comes and goes.
Worse noise is the leaf blower.
Oh, okay. All right,
fair enough.
I hate those things. That's a separate issue.
But
yeah,
my question too, though, is the question would be that intrigues me is, do you mow? Like, do you have a push mower or do you ride mow?
I like the exercise and I can't afford the ride mower.
Because I think that makes a difference.
Plus,
too,
they're also they're so big and you got to store them. And okay,
we have a listener that has a auto mower.
Oh, one of the little runaround things?
And it looks like kind of like a tortoise, actually.
My wife just got a indoor, like a vacuum, not a Roomba, but a like that.
Sort of. This is sort of the same concept.
I've
but
seen
for
them.
Your mom,
they're
yeah.
weird. Yeah, I was, when I walked past, I feel like, so
now,
strange.
If that were the case, I might be involved.
Okay. You set that one to go. Yeah. You know what she calls our indoor?
Oh, no, enlighten me.
Grandpa. Because he goes slow and bumps into everything. And you know, we let Grandpa out to clean up the carpets. You know?
And your dogs leave it alone?
It terrifies the dogs.
Oh, okay.
They tried barking at it the first time, nipping at it, but now they've learned it's detente right now. Anyway, back to the question of the day, which is, what's the right time to mow? Is there a wrong time to mow? Is there a too early, too late? John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are still looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We're kidding. You guys are so snarky. You're so salty. Midnight is fine.
Yeah, why not?
By the pale moonlight.
I've got a light on the front of mine.
When you get notices from the property manager is when to mow.
That is true.
Somebody says no earlier than 8 a.m. Yeah, I don't know how 8 a.m. becomes the time, but I think 8 a.m. is the time.
Business hours.
But see, when I was growing up, business hours were always 9 a.m.
Yeah, but you were up north.
Oh, okay. Wow.
We're in Central Time.
Carpetbagger. Okay, so I do it peak UV and heat index. It establishes that I'm the alpha male of my neighborhood.
Oh, never
also,
thought about it that way.
Also, it's a display of intelligence. Or, so what else we got?
Wait, back up. Mowing the lawn is a display of intelligence?
No, this person said, I like to mow during the heat of the day to prove I'm the alpha male that can handle it.
Ah, okay.
And I said, displaying intelligence or maybe not as much, you know.
Just slow it down a little. She'll catch it.
John, our good friend John Hutchinson says 8 a.m. It gets too hot after that. Don says either as early as the dew dries or as late as you can still see to mow, because that's, you know, which is, you know, avoiding the heat. I mean, it is Florida. Oh, we're not there yet. I was going to save this, but I was looking at this the other day. Do you know where Florida is on the latitude lines for the globe? Have you ever looked? You know, I mean, Pensacola. Okay, Pensacola is right along, 35? I think we're on the 35th parallel. Do you know what is also on the 35th parallel? The Sahara Desert.
Wow.
Just as a side note. So when it's hot.
You have too much free time.
Spin
the little thing. Did you do that?
I didn't have a globe.
Well, yes.
Looked at a Mercator projection map, okay?
Okay.
But yeah, the Sahara Desert is on the same latitude as, think Libya, you know, Tripoli, like, you know. So when you complain about it being hot, it's just our latitude. 437-1620. Let's see. Up until 8 a.m., there's still dew on the grass, always around 6 p.m., so somewhere between that. Plus, it's not good on the weekends. The leaf blower is the most annoying. Somebody agrees with you, Meg.
Thank you.
When the grass gets as high as my knees, it's time to mow.
Yeah.
Yeah. No HOA in that neighborhood.
Nope.
I like to mow. Amir says, I like to mow around noon when there's lots of sun so I can put on some swim trunks, get a good suntan, and then when you're done, jump in the swimming pool.
That's a great idea.
That's to create pain and therefore to create the pleasure afterwards of the contrast. No, that is true. Somebody says, I wait at least a week after my neighbors mow theirs. That way it doesn't look like they shamed me into doing it. Who's that? You know when you're planning to mow, like, say, you were going to mow on Saturday, but it needs it. and your neighbors mow on, say, Thursday, like today, and you're like, bro, can we not just let it slide to the week? Because then you feel worse, right? Because the contrast makes it look so bad. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Now, a home equity line of credit from Pinair Credit Union can help you put it to great use. So build something incredible, like a backyard oasis or new walk-in shower. Invest in something special, like education or your business. Or just replace your roof. Boring, but important. Whatever you need, a home equity line of credit from Pinair is ready and waiting. And since there's no annual fee and no closing costs, a Pinair home equity line is always a perfect fit. Get started at Pinair.org/HELOC. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
Why'd I go to the doctor? One day at the firehouse, I was so lightheaded I could barely stand. Even my crew noticed. Getting checked out was the right call. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Buttman! Buttman!
Listen as your day unfolds. Challenge what the future holds. Try and keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears. Go ahead, release your fears. Stand up and be counted. Don't be ashamed to cry. You gotta be.
Oh, man, I love that song by Desiree. That was one of our songs back in the day, you know, like with my wife. So it's been some years. Going back 29 years. 27 of marriage. 8:51 here on News Radio 92.3. I love that I'm getting the groove moves from both Meg and John here in the studio. That makes me happy. Anytime I see that, and I realize we've succeeded. So
I love that song.
Yes, John?
Yeah, no, I watch you dance all the time. So.
Wait, what?
Nothing. Can't prove it, sir.
Throw a few more bucks my way. 437-1620.
Stop it. Two of you this morning.
I don't know. It's been a weird day, a little bit of a weird day. What was it that I was going to? Oh, this was, I don't know. I felt like coming back to this just a little bit. You remember the story about the South Afrikaners, the whites, the former apartheid folks, the farmers that Trump has now imported as refugees? The part of this story that I don't think we delved into very much before was that the Episcopal Church, ECUSA, which is the more liberal version, but the ECUSA is now basically saying that they won't, or they had said, they will not participate in this, although they have been for decades partnering with the federal government on migration ministries. There's actually the Episcopal Migration Ministries. But when he fast-tracked them against all the other people in the world, which is bizarre, but the quote that came out from a guy named Sean Rowe was the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church. He says, in light of our church's steadfast commitment to racial justice and reconciliation and our historic ties with the Anglican Church of Southern Africa, we are not able to take this step. Accordingly, we have determined that by the end of the federal fiscal year, we will conclude our refugee resettlement grant agreements with the United States federal government. Well, that's a bad outcome. Then again, if they're not resettling refugees, then sort of what's the difference. But he said, it's been painful to watch one group of refugees selected in a highly unusual manner receive preferential treatment over many others who have been waiting in refugee camps or dangerous conditions for years. I'm saddened and ashamed that many of the refugees who are being denied entrance to the U.S. and our brave people who worked alongside our military in Iraq and Afghanistan. Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the detail was, but there's been some change of status in the Afghani collaborators, which is really concerning because those people, we Oh, everything we can give to them. Anyway, these are like the locals who translated and worked and were embedded with our military when they were in Afghanistan. Because obviously Afghanistan is not a place they can be now. Afghanistan now face danger at home because of their service to our country. This is not the first friction point between the Episcopal Church and the Trump administration. Remember, and this is why you kind of like, you don't know whether to assume or infer that it's for this reason. But why did Trump bring them in? Was it because the South Afrikaners, you know, again, former apartheid supporters, that these are the people that really most need our help? Or is it because somebody said, you know, if you do this, it'll put the Episcopal Church in a bad spot and then they'll have to make a decision about what to do? Why could it be that? Well, do you remember Bishop Marion Buddy, who gave the speech where Trump was in attendance that he did not like, where she called him out, challenged him, said, hey, what you're doing. And I actually thought it was a fairly good speech. I listened to the whole thing, and I didn't think it was always the best, but it was not what it was portrayed as. And I think if you're preaching to the president, you have the obligation to preach to the president. There is a fairly long tradition of prophets confronting political leaders in the Bible, in case you're not familiar. So it didn't bother me the way it bothered a lot of people. Doesn't mean I agreed with what she was saying, but I want more religious leaders who challenge political leaders. That's literally speaking truth to power. Whether you think it's truth or not is a different question. This is at the inaugural prayer service. Remember, she talked about mercy on people who were afraid, including immigrants and members of the LGBT community. Anyway, so that is it, isn't it? And just as a side note, totally as a side note, I tell you this only because processing this story may not be obvious to everybody. The Episcopal Church leader talking about the Anglican Church in South Africa, and this is just a fact. What's the difference between the Anglican and the Episcopal Church? The spelling. They're the same thing depending on which country you're in, right? In England, it's the Anglicans. In America, it's the Episcopals. In South Africa, it's the Anglicans. So just knowing that these are the same entity with different brands, basically, around the world. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110, 90, 98 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, the reason that Dave Ramsey recommends Frontier Motors is because they sell the kind of cars that make sense, sort of economically. You know, instead of buying a new car where you take all that depreciation hit, and instead of buying a really old car, which, you know, you've heard him talk about this, it can be good for a starter car, but really the older car, the problem is you wind up spending so much money in maintenance, and also you have that uncertainty. So you want the sweet spot, which is a year, two, maybe 3 years old with 10 to 40,000 miles, something that's been gently owned by one, maybe two people, and then you can, you know, buy it and drive it for the rest of its life if you want to. That's what Frontier specializes in. Cars that are a couple of years and a couple 10,000 miles in, and they're going to warranty them to 100,000 or 10 years, and you can count on them. They also have a great selection. They also follow up with you after the sale to make sure that you're happy with it. At least they did with me. They called me 6 months after and a year after we bought our van to make sure there was nothing wrong with it. One of the keys didn't work. They fixed it on them. A year after we bought it, they replaced one of the keys. Like, who does that? Well, Frontier does that because they don't want you to feel like anything went wrong in your experience. They want you to enjoy it and come back again and again and again. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. 437-1620. What was the other thing that I was going to tell you about? No, we're not going to get into that one. Oh, I have so many different things we could talk about, and sometimes I never quite know where to go with just 3 minutes left in the show. Did you see the story about the Pace Pharmacy pharmacists getting arrested for being part of a pill mill, allegedly?
Yes.
And also the business manager, right? The office manager was one of the people. This is following up to the woman who was the OBGYN that got into trouble. It was like subsequent investigation. They've been working on it for years or whatever. The one thing, and John, you live in Milton.
Yes.
Okay. So do you know this particular pharmacy?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Have you ever shopped there?
I tried, but they didn't take my insurance.
Oh.
So I had to go to the chain where
like
they accepted
they
my
wanted
insurance.
Cash only.
Basically, yes. That's the vibe I got.
Okay.
They didn't
all
come
right.
out and
well,
say it.
Okay. What I think is interesting about this is the kind of the pearl clutching a little bit, which is the, oh my God, the Pace Pharmacy, you know? Well, what do you think pill mills are? You know, I genuinely think that for most people, the idea of a pill mill, they think it's probably some meth head in a single wide, you know? And that's the, no, I mean, it's a pharmacist, it's a doctor, it's inappropriately or overprescribing and often for cash, you know, in a way that is designed to skirt the rules and regulations and to feed an addiction. I mean, that's that's what it is. Now, I don't know any of the details, the particulars here enough to say anything about guilt. I'm just saying that I think the perception when this story broke is, you know, oh my God, an OBGYN. Oh my God, the pharmacist. You know, like, who do you think does this stuff? it's not back alley oxycodone, right? It's people with storefronts and people with degrees and people that decide, just like anything else, we can skirt the rules and regulations and we can, you know, make money through this, or, you know, massage the numbers on that, or we can just plain engage in providing people with illegitimate drugs because there's a lot of money to be made in that. And it's not, you know, this happens to be their name, but, you know, it's going to be the pharmacist with a storefront somewhere. That's how this works. Meg is up next with Pep Talk. Stick around. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.